It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 97% always,
yes,
is my co-host,
Steven Round.
Let's get in the point now where I actually didn't know we were having a podcast.
Wait, we did text about this.
No, right? We did, but okay. I forgot.
Yeah, it happens.
I had a lot of things going on. I was really tired yesterday. And then you just showed up, and I'm like, yeah, we do need to do a podcast. Yeah. But there is enough to talk about going
on. It's strange when I'm the responsible one.
Yeah, this week we got all our political talk out before we started recording, because some people were very encouraged by our episode last week. Some people were not. And to be fair to everyone, this has never been a political podcast,
yeah,
but there's just certain times where...
I think, and let's be brief about this, but... I don't want to entertain the fact that I think this is politics, because this isn't. I don't have a political ideology I want to force, other than I don't like fascism, and
you know, most comic fans don't.
Yeah, and it's like a really brief point is. All right.
This doesn't sound that brief.
It's not going to be brief, so I'm just going to skip it. Basically, I'll just say it's just like...
You're still mad, is that what you're saying?
I'm furious, and fucked up stuff is still happening, and occasionally we're going to talk about it's going to come up, because it's not normal.
Right.
And this isn't politics.
It's beyond politics. It's just the current events.
And it is drastically changing
the world. This, brief segue, but you see Jimmy Kimmel... there's been this whole meme with Trump quotes, and the more serious it gets, like, the scarier example they use for Trump quotes. Like, during the campaign, Billy West was doing tweets of Trump as Zap Brannigan.
Which
were hilarious.
Right.
They were like, I have the best people.
Yeah.
Like, I love Hispanics. The best Taco Bowls are at Trump Tower. And that was really funny. Then he won, and then Mark Hamill started doing them as the Joker.
Yeah.
So it took a decidedly different turn. And now Jimmy Kimmel ran him as an overdub on the episode of Justice League Unlimited, where Lex Luthor was president, in the episode where Superman murders him and creates an alternate reality.
Right. And, you know, he's widely considered kind of supervillainish.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like ample reason. But we'll get past
it is. We are at a point now where he is saying things that I did not think people would say in public. That were only written in supervillain dialogue.
Yeah, and things are happening in this country that it's like now shockingly paralleling pre-Nazi Germany.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, there was actually a really good, this is kind of ties in, but somebody reposted, there was a political cartoon that Dr. Seuss drew in like 1939 about Hitler.
Yeah.
And it was people were buying hats. They were buying ostrich hats so they could stick their head in the sand and ignore Germany.
Yeah.
And which was really cool. And it was just drawn completely Dr. Seuss style.
Right.
So it's just a nice reminder that these things kind of go in cycles.
This is kind of how that snuck. I remember we were always like, how did the Germans let this happen? This is exactly how it's like. You let this shit sneak up on you. It is a dangerously, dangerously slippery slope. And I am an idiot. Listen to people who like know what they're talking about. This is not, you know, it's like denying global warming. It's just like, what?
Yeah.
It makes zero sense.
But you know what? My social network feed makes me sad all the time. So let's move on to something slightly more pleasant. This week, we are going to get the premiere of Legion on FX, which is the first Fox X-Men television show. And I'm surprised we aren't hearing more about this.
New Mutants. Now, remember they did like...
You mean Generation X in the 90s?
Yeah. Now, just for reference, I knew they made it. What kind of context is this? Did this premiere, or was this just like a thing people bought on bootleg?
No, it aired once as a special.
Okay, yeah, so it was a special around, once they actually put on television.
Yeah, Fox actually aired. It was terrible. Yeah. It was around the time they also actually aired David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury.
Okay, so it's in that same. It was venue around of, that same like, time. It was TV also, pilots like the Punisher, Dolph Lundgren thing.
Yeah, it was also. It was also the same time that Fox did air the Eighth Doctor. No, I'm sorry, the Ninth Doctor. No, the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann.
The guy before the
thug. One movie he made, yeah, between 89 and 2005, they made that one movie in the 90s. Fox aired it around that time. That was all around 96. I think what was going on then was the X-Files was a big hit for them. Star Trek was gigantic. Hercules and Xena were getting big. So genre TV was getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And Fox was trying to find the next best thing. They never did. They kept X-Files on the air. Then they had Firefly and killed it.
Yeah.
And they never have really had that sci-fi thing again. Honestly, once when X-Files was ending, they premiered both Firefly, which was a sci-fi show, and 24, which was like an espionage show.
Yeah.
Because X-Files kind of walked both worlds, and 24 was the one that took off.
Right. So here's the thing. So 24 and Serenity, not to beat the dead horse that is Serenity and all those totally butthurt fans, but the all right, so those shows premiere at the same time. 24 takes off and gets like 12 seasons or whatever happened with 24 and got like a movie. The other show gets killed.
Firefly, yeah.
All right, now Firefly has
runs
like
13 episodes.
Right, 13 episodes was like a season. Firefly is like super underground popular with like nerd people, all right? Essentially, like our people. Do you think people at Fox have any idea on the like franchise they missed out on by being idiots?
Yeah, they did, because they made the movie. But then the movie, because they made Serenity,
yeah,
which was about 3 years after the show got canceled, which is how I discovered it, because I had heard about it, didn't watch it when it was on. I knew it was Joss Whedon, but I wasn't a fan of Buffy yet.
Yeah.
And honestly, he hadn't done anything else close to me yet. He hadn't, he hadn't written Astonishing X-Men. He certainly hadn't made the Avengers.
I did not care about Joss Whedon up until Astonishing X-Men.
You know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer just looked like Twilight to mm-hmm. me. Twilight wasn't around then, but it looked like all the commercials for Buffy were just like Buffy and Angel like staring at each other and brooding, which is Twilight.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize... I actually got into Whedon backwards, was when Serenity was coming out as a movie. I knew people were super into it. And my sister was into Buffy, and I asked, I was like, is Firefly good? And she just lent me the DVDs. And we binge-watched the series in a week.
Yeah.
Which you can now binge-watch on Netflix anytime you want. And then we saw the movie at the end of the week. The problem was, when Fox realized what it was doing, I think they fired the people that were doing all that.
Yeah.
So they gave Serenity a movie. Then they brought Family Guy back. Then they made Futurama as a series of DVDs, and then new seasons on Comedy Central.
Right.
So they did, and Arrested Development comes back on Netflix. So they did correct a lot of their mistakes, but sometimes it was just too far gone. I mean, yeah. Firefly, there's no one involved in Firefly now that would have the time to do more Firefly.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
The other problem—
I just like that these idiots realize that they're idiots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like as I said, these are the same people that canceled Family Guy and Futurama
right.
at the same time, and we still have those.
Right.
I mean, Futurama wrapped up like a year or two ago, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get more. So, yeah, that was one of the few times they had genre, and they did go back and correct. The other thing that happened with Serenity was it didn't make that much money. Opening weekend, it did well. Every single person that knew about Firefly saw it that opening weekend. And then it turned out not that many people knew about Firefly. And then it just, after that, it tanked.
Yeah.
And they kept talking about a second one. And honestly, I think once Joss Whedon got Avengers because he had made Serenity. Serenity was the first feature film he had ever made.
Yeah. And we were talking about this at the shop the other day, is how Marvel will hire young, like, hungry directors. Like, the guy that did Creed is going to do Black Panther. That guy's, like, 26 years old.
Right. James Gunn had only made some, like Slither.
Right. The guys who did Community were, like, nerds, and they got to make Captain America Winter Soldier. So it's
Jon Favreau hadn't really had a big hit. He had done Zathura before.
Yeah, he was more of an actor.
Yeah, and a writer.
Yeah.
He and Vince Vaughn wrote their movies together.
Right.
Yeah, so they get those guys because they're cheap and they'll listen to you.
Yeah.
And then when they do get a guy who's like more established, like Edgar Wright or Kenneth Branagh, it's a bad experience for everyone involved.
Yeah.
You know, Kenneth Branagh made his Thor film, didn't come back. And, you know, famously, Edgar Wright quit Ant-Man about 6 years into it.
Right.
Until it was just kind of put together quickly. And it was still good. I mean, as long as Marvel's putting out good movies, no one's really going to argue with them.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's like a good move.
But moving from movies to television, so we're getting Legion next week. We are also getting a DC sitcom called Powerless on NBC.
Yeah, so this isn't based on like a comic.
No, I think the closest thing it reminds me of is Damage Control, which was a Marvel property. But it's a sitcom about normal people in the DC universe. And they retooled it heavily because initially it was supposed to be like insurance adjusters.
Yeah.
And they would have claims of like, you know, Thanos, who am I?
Dark Side.
Like Mongol. That's right.
Right, yeah.
They were like, Mongol just destroyed my apartment building.
Yeah.
And they would handle that. And then somehow, after San Diego got heavily retooled, and now they're research and development of Wayne Enterprises. But they have the same cast. And this the same style. So Vanessa Hutchins, who was like...
So is this going to tie into the movies?
Well, that's a really good question. Because so far, some of the movies don't tie into the movies.
Yeah.
And the TV universe is not one universe in DC either. Because, you know, I could see this. I could see Powerless living next to Flash and Supergirl and Arrow.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like
more than I could see it living next to Justice League and Suicide Squad or Gotham, because Gotham is its own universe that's not connected to anything.
Oh, my God.
So DC's all – and honestly –
if they don't just do a crisis to clean that up, they would do a huge disservice to themselves. Really should do a
– that's going to be their Avengers Infinity War is DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, and just cross over all their shows.
With both Flashes.
Both Flashes, the movies, everything. Mm. Just throw it in one big pot.
You know what the poster of it should be? It should be the poster of like the Flash of Two Worlds.
Like running.
But it's Ezra Miller and Grant Gustin.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be great. Yeah, so DC has like all of these different universes. Marvel has one, and so far they have one show. They have been talking about a spinoff for a while. Mockingbird was supposed to get her own show, and then it just didn't happen.
Agent Carter.
And now the Inhumans Agent Carter was exactly some miniseries that fit in.
Yeah.
And now the Inhumans is going to be a show, and it looks like that movie's not going to happen.
Now, see, then I heard again that the show isn't going to get made anymore.
I don't know. The Mockingbird got as far as a pilot. They made a pilot for that and picked up. Yeah, and in fact, they did.
Has anyone seen the pilot?
No, it never aired, but I'm caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they did a whole big episode saying goodbye to Mockingbird.
Yeah.
So they made a big deal of her leaving the series, now, which is unfortunate because she was the best thing on that show at that point.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of scrambling
she
again.
She was in that football show me and Tina are like obsessed with.
She gets killed in the pilot of Supernatural, too.
Oh, my God. That would have been like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think what... She was in like some football show, but like high school
football. Friday Night Lights?
Yes. Me and Tina are like obsessed with that show.
And yet you can't remember the title.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I do obsessions. You know, just dip my toe in.
Yeah, so we're at a point where, we said this before, there are so many television shows that you cannot watch all of them.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not watching any of them. I just started Preacher, and that's it. I watched like the first season of Flash.
Yeah, I watched the first season of Flash.
Oh, there's an Archie show coming out. Tales of
Riverdale.
Riverdale?
That just premiered, and it's supposed to be like a serious, scary show about
Archie.
It's
like about murderers.
It didn't do well.
It didn't?
No.
Oh, that's crazy. I got some customers. Guy Casper, he's a great customer. He's a good dude. And his kid loves Archie. She reads the digest and stuff. And they were like talking about like, yeah, we're super excited for the show to premiere. And then it's just like, I'm so curious. I want to talk to him when he comes in, how it went. But yeah, it sucks that it didn't do too well.
Yeah, and once again, Marvel is very focused on what they do. Like we said, we have four shows on Netflix that all take turns, so they're not airing four shows at once. So
yeah.
it's kind of like, I mean, there's different showrunners.
Yeah, but they're
and
like
cast.
Little movies.
Yeah, and they follow one to another. So if you're looking at it in terms of your watching habits, you just basically watch one Netflix show at a time. They come out every, you know, 3-4
months. It's basically the same show, right? It's basically, if you look at it, that's the Marvel show on Netflix is...
In the same way that the Marvel movies now are basically Marvel Universe Chapter 15.
Right. And Captain America Civil War was a fucking Marvel Universe movie.
Right.
Everyone was in it.
But then Doctor Strange is like, all right, we're setting up Doctor Strange. He's almost like an on-ramp. That movie is an on-ramp into the Marvel Cinematic Universe for that character.
Yeah.
Because the next thing he's going to be in is Thor Ragnarok.
And the first thing he does after he's Doctor Strange is sit down and have a beer with Thor. It's just like... It's like exactly how they started this when Iron Man went into a bar and talked to General Ross about the Hulk.
And then that's one of the reasons everybody likes Netflix. Now, Network has been a little shakier because, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has never been great.
That's like they're not invited to the party.
Not anymore, no. It's like the first couple of seasons they would have, like, Sif showed up a couple of times and Samuel Jackson made a cameo and Stan Lee made a cameo and they would, the best thing they did was the week after Winter Soldier was that show blew up.
Yeah.
Because they showed Winter Soldier from their perspective. Like, in the middle of an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson is just like, wait, there's Hydra guys everywhere?
Yeah.
And that blew up that show for a while. And now it's all about, well, they just finished Ghost Rider for the first half, which is, okay. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to get Ghost Rider.
You don't think he's going to show up in the Infinity War?
No. I don't now because now I think he belongs to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that's where they're going to keep him.
Yeah,
they've said multiple times that they're not looking to cross over any of the television shows. There's too many characters. Everyone keeps asking Vincent D'Onofrio if he's going to be in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'd love to. I'm the Kingpin, but no one has asked me.
And here's the thing. It's like the Vincent D'Onofrio doesn't make sense. Use him in Spider-Man. Don't make him the big bad guy, but put him in the movie as like a secondary villain or like if you got to use a mob guy, use the Kingpin. Phil Coulson, I don't need Phil Coulson to show up and help fight Thanos. But Ghost Rider...
As far as the movies are concerned, Phil Coulson died in Avengers because you never saw him again in a movie.
Right, and that's fine. Or any of those Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I don't need... Quake to help fight Thanos. You want Ghost Rider to show up. It's like, okay, at least Ghost Rider is like ABC list. Quake is like some person Bendis made up that my roommate's in love with. Like, that's all that character is to me.
Yeah, that's so one of those characters. Like, it was like Diablo in Suicide Squad where I was like, that's a character?
Right.
And then I like Wikipedia them and I was like, oh, they showed up twice in a book I don't read.
Exactly. And it's like, it's great that they have a show. It's really cool that they can introduce characters like Mockingbird, who I wouldn't mind seeing on like the roster of the Avengers. But it's just like, I don't think I need to see every one of their characters fight the big bad guy.
Right. And you know, I'm thinking of this Avengers Infinity War like the Secret Wars in the 80s. Where that was all their A-listers. Like, Daredevil was not invited into the Secret Wars.
And he shouldn't be. Because what's Daredevil doing in space?
Right. Power Man and Iron Fist were not there. If you were not a current Avenger,
like
Beast is not there.
Right.
Iceman's not there.
Right.
So I'm fine with this Infinity War just being, these are the A-listers of the A-listers of
the A-listers. Right, here's the Guardians and the Avengers.
Yeah, and you can keep Gladiator fighting Daredevil on Netflix and that's it.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know that I want a movie that has 80 characters in it, because Marvel's done such a good job of balancing their characters. Like, Civil War's got a ton of people in it. But there comes a breaking point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's when they talk about these lists of characters they have coming out in these movies, you can't expect everyone to, like, kind of watch all this stuff or keep track of all this stuff. So it's like, we'll kind of see if they can kind of pull this off. And so far, so good, but we'll see.
And DC's taking the other tack of just like, we'll just have our own version of everything. I mean, Supergirl has her own Superman.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, see, now they're talking about is that Superman worthy of a spinoff? Should they have a Superman show where that guy plays Superman?
But not be the Superman that...
In the movies,
Henry Cavill will be his own Superman.
Right.
Yeah, so this Powerless, my guess is it's going to live just by itself.
It's own, like Gotham. It's its own universe.
Yeah, but Legion's going to live within the X-Men universe, but the X-Men universe is so wide and disparate anyway, which is odd because it's one family of titles that's so interconnected in the comics.
Yeah.
And it's the only part of the Marvel license that 20th Century Fox has, but it's all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's as big a mess as the X-Men comics are. There's no general agreed upon direction anymore.
Well, they asked,
for that book or that franchise.
They asked the director of Logan, like, what movie does this come after? He's like, nah, it's in the future.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to have...
There's no plan.
It's going to have no connection. Like, there's not going to be a plot point where he's like, well, because you fixed the timeline of Days of Future Past, now the Reavers are taking over. It's just... X-Men now is just doing these self-contained things. And the director of Deadpool was like, look, Deadpool has its own tone. It would be great if the other X-Men movies started to look and feel more like Deadpool, but I don't know that that's going to happen. Like, Logan certainly isn't going to feel like Deadpool.
Right.
So...
And that's the thing is, Deadpool... they're going to take the... We've talked about this before, is they'll miss the point of Deadpool, was it was true to the character. If they try to make everything dark and also very silly and humorous... It's just like it's not gonna work for Logan. Like Logan is supposed to be this like darker movie about like a post-apocalyptic future and like this like old guy, you know, who's like kind of hanging out on the fringes of like the outback or wherever.
And that's the problem with these universes is I always had the theory when I was trying to break into comics. My theory was always every comic should be somebody's favorite comic. So whatever tone it should be totally different than everything else. Like, you know, like Daredevil should never feel like Spider-Man. Doctor Strange should never feel like Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like they should live in different, very different worlds. And then crossovers or Avengers or guest appearances feel very different. You feel like these worlds are colliding. I mean, Stan was good about it in the Marvel Silver Age because, you know, Fantastic Four was a science book and Spider-Man was a street crime book and Thor was a god book and Doctor Strange was a magic book.
Yeah.
The problem is the reality sets in of like, hey, X-Men is selling really well. Make everything like X-Men.
Right.
And then you have things like 90s Marvel where everything's kind of the same and making Steven mad.
Yeah.
So you're going to get this mix and right now we have with Marvel everything's kind of the same. Doctor Strange kind of feels like Iron Man.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy kind of feels like Captain America. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. probably the biggest stretch is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could exist next to Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
That's probably the most different feeling. Meanwhile, DC's just like, all right, three Supermans, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's like they both come with their own problems of like, well, here's one company trying to make everything tie together, and it's like, that's not always easy or possible or necessary. And the other company's just like, well, we've kind of made a mess by keeping everything separate, then let's try to take the most advantage of that, I guess. And it's like, yeah, sure, everyone gets a Superman now. Here's two Flashes.
Right.
And if they do have the ability and the foresight and the... what do you call it? The kind of like guts to try to do Crisis and combine all this shit. It's just like, I hope that's where they're going with it. It's like, that would blow my mind.
There's discussion now of bringing back Ryan Reynolds to play Hal Jordan because they're Green Lantern is not in Justice League because they have to settle this. And then the Green Lantern movie has turned into Green Lantern Corps. So it's going to be everybody.
Right.
But they have something like, they have like five names. I think Bradley Cooper is one person they're talking about. But because Ryan Reynolds is a hit in Deadpool, they're right. Like, maybe we'll bring him back.
Maybe it's worth using.
And then when fans ask, okay, does that mean that Green Lantern movie counts? And DC's not going to answer you.
Right. And it's just like, I think it's,
they can recast Kilowog and have next to Ryan Reynolds. Yeah.
Yeah. They have no idea. And, like, they might even not look anything like that movie looked. You know, it's like they might hire all new digital effects people. It's just like, you know, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like they clearly haven't figured it out. So it's
they're
just
also
like,
trying to, they're trying to correct a ship that's moving. I've been reading a lot of rumors that Wonder Woman's as big a mess as every other movie they made. And Justice League, they've kind of written off because it was too far down.
Yeah.
Although, you know something? If you are interested, right now, DC is doing a huge sale on all their Blu-rays. I know because Best Buy and Amazon, and I believe Target, everybody's like slashed the prices on them. So I now work above Best Buy, which is good for no one.
Right, that's not a good situation. That Best Buy's not going anywhere.
No, I know. I'm in a pretty big building. But I will get emails on like, hey, here's your reward points, and then get on an elevator. But I bought Suicide Squad this week on Blu-ray for $10. And I bought Gotham Season 2 on Blu-ray for $17.
That's insane.
And that's why I bought them.
Yeah.
Like, I brought them home, and my wife kind of understood Suicide Squad because she hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
So she's like, all right, $10 so I can see it. But then she looked at Gotham and just stared at me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even remind her that Gotham's on Netflix.
Right. And that's the thing, is it's like, this is, are you still watching it?
Yeah, I am.
And you're hate watching it still.
I go up and down with it.
Yeah.
Well, I got season two, and then I was like looking at the extras, and they had this whole extra about Mr. Freeze, and I was like, you know what? I like the Mr. Freeze episodes.
Yeah.
And then they had like a whole story arc with Firefly, and I was like, oh, I like the Firefly episodes. But then other things were just awful.
Yeah.
It's not great. So we go back to this. I mean, sometimes I feel like we need to change the title of the podcast to Why Warner Brothers Can't Get DC Right. Although the best theory I heard was when I was reading this report about Wonder Woman being a mess, is that one of the reasons Marvel's in such better shape is because they're Marvel and they sell one product, Marvel. DC's Warner Brothers, they're selling a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, DC is just one thing they're selling. They're selling us Harry Potter again.
Yeah,
you know, they don't live or die whether these movies tank. Yeah, it's worth it for them to make better movies. But
hang on a second.
But you know what? Batman vs. Superman is not going to kill Warner Brothers. Like, they're not going to shut down Warner Brothers because Batman vs. Superman did. Now, if Spider-Man Homecoming completely bombs, I can't see that happening. Let's not even say, I'm trying to think of a Marvel movie that'll bomb. And say Thor Ragnarok takes a huge dump, loses all the money. Then Marvel's in a bad position. So with DC, they can put out a terrible Green Lantern movie, then follow that up with a crappy Superman movie. Then follow that up with a horrible World's Finest movie. Then follow that up with like a so-so Suicide Squad movie.
And people are still excited for Wonder Woman.
People are still excited, yeah, because every time I see a trailer for DC, my first thought is, hey, maybe this will be the good one.
Yeah.
But the thing is, even with all these bombs, Warner Brothers is going to be okay.
But here's what I'm saying is Disney is to Marvel as Warner Brothers is to DC, right?
No. Marvel is still sort of self-contained. Marvel's owned by Disney.
Yeah.
But you notice when you go to see Civil War, there's no Disney logo.
Right.
You know, it doesn't play When You Wish Upon a Star. You don't see the Magic Kingdom.
Right. Well, yeah, because Disney owns, like, the company that made Kill Bill. Company that owns Kill Bill, Miramax. That made it, Miramax, yeah. Disney owns that company.
Right, but they don't put a Disney logo on that.
Right.
But they do put a Disney logo on, like, Pirates of the Caribbean or Pixar.
The ones based on their properties.
So they're a little more hands-off.
All right. So why doesn't Warner Brothers have...
I'm sorry, it was Touchstone. It's Touchstone, it's not
Miramax. Touchstone. Why doesn't Warner Brothers have a company that runs the DC movie division the way Marvel runs the Marvel movie division?
Exactly. That's the whole problem, because they didn't buy, they bought DC in the 70s.
Yeah.
So they've always owned it. So the same reason they don't have a separate company that makes Harry Potter movies, and they don't have a separate company that makes Looney Tunes shows. They just have departments.
Yeah.
So they consider it.
Who is populating the department that's making DC movies then?
People come and go. And that's what they're trying to build around Geoff Johns. They're trying to turn Geoff Johns into Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Which is the smartest move.
Absolutely. That is the guy you pick to do this.
Yeah, he's the guy that knows it the best.
Yeah, he's been in both industries.
Right. Yeah, he's never directed a movie or been in charge of him, but he worked for Richard Donner.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of episodes of Smallville, and he loves these characters.
Right, and he understands these characters, by and large.
Right.
He's a little iffy on Batman.
He likes him.
Everyone likes Batman, but I don't think he has an idea what makes Batman work.
No, the one idea he came up with that stuck is that Alfred should punch people.
Yeah, that Alfred's a badass.
And then ever since that year Earth One, like that Beware the Batman CG show, Alfred's like a Navy SEAL, and on Gotham he's constantly like beating people up and threatening people.
Oh, look at that, Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, Jeremy Irons
looks like he's murdered people.
He's not exactly Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine's like your dotting old grandfather, and Jeremy Irons is the guy that fucking stabs him in an alley.
I'm going to go out and murder some people, Mr. White.
Do you even lift, Master Wayne?
but that's the thing about DC that I think makes it interesting, And going back to all these shows. Now, DC is more successful on television than
absolutely.
Than Marvel. We don't talk about that much. I mean, you've got Flash, and I don't really watch any DC. The last show I really followed on DC was Constantine, which was 13 episodes and gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, Arrow is in its fifth season. Flash is in its third season. Legends of Tomorrow is in its second season. Supergirl's in its second season. Went from CBS to Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
That's all one universe. You have four shows a week that are one universe. You basically have all of Marvel's Netflix on all the time.
Yeah.
And then you have Gotham, which is completely on its own, but it's Batman, so who cares if it's on its own?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, like, that's are these shows all on different nights, too?
I think some of them are teamed up. I feel like Legends of I don't know. Flash and Arrow used to be on the same night, and now I don't know. I've never seen an episode of Legends of Tomorrow because, as we said, I don't have time. I looked at the character list, and I was like, okay, these aren't guys I really want to see.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching Gotham because every now and then Azrael or a Talon shows up, and I go, ooh.
Yeah.
Because these are characters I care about.
Right. Yes, yeah, it's weird because, like, I care that they did, because I saw the pictures, and it's like, here's the JSA, and they looked phenomenal in these pictures. Tina was like, had them on Facebook or something. And they looked great. They looked like exactly as I'd want them to look
on
the
show.
Legends of Tomorrow, I think. Okay. Is that the one that time travel?
Yeah, Rip Hunter.
But I can't be bothered to watch that show to see that payoff. Because it's like, I don't give a fuck about who Rip Hunter is.
Well, and that's what eventually killed me on Flash, was that every time he crossed over with Arrow, I was like, I just don't like Arrow. Like, I couldn't get through the first season of Arrow, and then I went back just to see, because Grant Gustin played Barry Allen first on Arrow, and then they spun him off immediately. Yeah. And I watched those, and I'm like, I just don't like this. So the more you connect that universe, this is actually flying in the face of what they're doing with the movies. The more you connect that universe, the less chance there is of me watching it. And that, but again, one of the reasons I'm watching Arrow.
And I think that is
they even pulled Constantine. They retconned Constantine because he showed up on Arrow.
I think that is exactly how this stuff isn't going to work forever, is this interconnected shit. My buddies, I have friends that have nothing to do with comic books. They don't care about comic books. They don't read comic books.
Why do they like you?
I have no idea. I'm not convinced that they do. I might be like a person that's around so everyone feels better about themselves.
You're C-3PO.
Yeah. And that's hurtful. Jesus. all right. So, and I think they talk to me like, Doctor Strange is a good example. It came out, and we were talking about this movie that came out. And they were all basically like, I'm just sick of having to watch, like, another show to know what's going on in, like, the other movies. And I think that interconnectedness eventually will kind of hurt this, where people won't want to see, or people won't want to have to go see every Marvel movie just because they liked Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, and they've done a pretty good job so far. My cousin wanted to catch up, and I think it was right after we saw Doctor Strange, and she's like,
yeah,
well, the last thing I saw was whatever was before Guardians of the Galaxy. Was it Winter Soldier? No, she hadn't seen Age of Ultron yet.
Yeah.
And we were able to go through the Blu-rays. Another reason I don't give up on discs, I kind of like pointing to things on my shelf. That's worth $25 every 3 months.
Right.
but like, we were able to skip over. I was like, okay, well, if you want to get caught up and know what's going on, really all you really need to see is Age of Ultron and Civil War.
Yeah.
I was like, and then you're good. And she's like, what about Guardians of the Galaxy? Guardians of the Galaxy is really good, but self-contained. You don't really need it.
Yeah.
Ant-Man, all Ant-Man does is introduce Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And then we watch Civil War without watching Ant-Man. And when Falcon's like, hey, Tic Tac, there was a good audition, but it'll never happen again. She just looked at me and was like, oh, yeah, Falcon was an Ant-Man. She went, okay.
Yeah.
And then just moved on.
Right. Yeah, it's not necessary. And I think that...
But there is this feeling of like, okay, another Marvel movie.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is, I think the broader it gets, the more fatigue will set in. There is a tipping point to this shit. They just can't keep
building. We're in a bubble.
Exactly. We are for sure in a bubble. And I don't think it'll ever be the... though they won't make superhero movies anymore. Like we've talked about, it'll be like Westerns. There'll be one every year.
That's what Spielberg says.
Yeah, there'll be a Marvel movie every year still, but it's just this like 3-4 movies a year shit isn't gonna last.
And coming from everyone.
Right. Yeah, because like, it's not just Marvel.
Yeah, it's like 3-4 movies a year from Marvel, and then DC's putting out two.
And right. Then, and then Fox is doing X-Men still.
And every now and then an Image or a Dark Horse character gets something.
Right.
I mean, Walking Dead is still the biggest show on. That's an Image book.
Yeah. How many seasons is that in?
7?
Did Preacher get renewed?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I just started Preacher, and it's like, I like it, but it's one of those shows where it's just like, because I'm watching it because it doesn't tie into anything, and there's only one season.
Yeah, it's only like 10 episodes.
This is why I won't go back to like Walking Dead.
It's like watching Breaking Bad. It's yeah. like, okay, I just have to watch this show.
This is it. It's completely self-contained. Yeah. And it's like, I've heard good things. You know, it's like Walking Dead, I hear good things, but there's 5 seasons I'm behind on.
Yeah,
I don't have time to watch 5 seasons.
Although the nice thing about Walking Dead is you don't have to watch Fear the Walking Dead at all. I watched season 1 of
it. Oh, yeah. No, I don't even care. I would never watch that spin-off.
No, I watched the first season. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
There were even people in the cast I like, and I didn't like it. And then my DVR was catching season 2, and I did like the first episode. I'm like, there's no reason
for me to watch this. That show kind of like is like a product of like the worst impulses of like the people running the shit show, because it's, all right, Walking Dead is the number one show on television. That does not merit another show
right.
for you guys to double dip and make money. It's just like two shows running at the same time the same thing makes no sense.
Yeah.
And it's a prequel. And it's just like, how quickly before zombies are in that show?
And zombies are in the show in the first episode.
And it's just like The Walking Dead then. It's the same fucking show.
It just has less of a budget, so they put less makeup on everyone because they just died.
Right.
They just put blood on people.
Yeah, they're not going to find like a zombie in a well.
And every character seems like a moron because they don't know how to kill a zombie.
Right.
Which, granted, you and I would not know how to kill a zombie if one walked in here.
No, we for sure would, because we've seen zombie movies.
Yeah, but I feel like it would be like Shaun of the Dead, where they're hitting zombies with, like, records for, like, 5 minutes. But, yeah, but that's... But living in the universe where, you know, Daryl and Rick are just taking out zombies without looking at them.
Yeah. Well, and that's a thing. I think it's just like, well, that's the, you know, when you've taken a genre like that and run with it for 7 years, you don't have the room to then start over with another show. And you're just going to burn through material that much quicker. It's like, it makes zero sense.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what's going to happen with these DC shows is I don't see that... We're just talking about the shared universe, okay? That's probably the best way to talk about it. Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow. If you want to throw in Constantine, even though they're not making it anymore, all of those shows live together.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about Powerless, which we don't know.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Gotham, which we know is separate. But those four shows that are connected don't feel different to each other. I've seen very little of Supergirl. I've watched a full season of Flash, and I've watched a few episodes of Arrow, and I have not watched Legend of Tomorrow. But every time I look at those shows, they kind of feel like the same show. There's not really a difference in tone.
Who are the showrunners?
I think they're all coming from Greg Berlanti.
And that's what I'm saying, is I think that's four examples of one guy's show about the DC characters, because all the showrunners for the Netflix Marvel stuff, and potatoes or putadas or whatever you want to call it, we're comparing again, but... they're all separate people, right? The guy that did Luke Cage was this like huge hip hop guy. You know what I mean? Right. That's a different
and
guy.
And he had not done a Marvel show before.
Right. That was a different guy that ran, I don't know if the guy that ran Daredevil season 1 and 2 was the same guy. And Jessica Jones was a different guy.
Daredevil, that's such a sad story. Daredevil got passed from one guy to another guy. And the tragedy of that is both guys were guys that wrote on Buffy, so they both worked for Joss Whedon, so there was that nice connection back to the movies.
Yeah.
But Drew Goddard developed it, and then he did the first 2 episodes, so he did that whole, like, the whole fight in one shot.
Yeah.
Like, that great episode. Yeah, so he definitely had a vision for it. And then he quit because Sony offered him this Sinister Six movie.
Oh.
So he went, oh, I'll go from Daredevil to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then Sony gave Spider-Man back, and that movie ceased to exist.
Right, so he found himself with his pants around his ankles.
And, yeah, and now he...
now what does he do?
Now he's on The Good Place.
I don't even know what that is.
That's that show with Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
I'm sure he's a very happy guy.
Yeah, that's actually a really good show. That could be my greatest thing in the world. That's the show where... You know, Kristen Bell's dead, and it takes place in heaven.
Oh, it's that show.
Yeah, that show.
She was watching the
show.
He
created,
loves it.
Yeah, Michael Schur, who created Parks and Rec, created it.
Yeah.
I watched the first four or five episodes, and I was like, okay, I get it, and I drifted off. And then I saw an IGN review. Mm-hmm. It just wrapped up the season, and I went back, and luckily, they were all on demand. So if you're interested, you can probably still see the entire series on demand, or if not Hulu.
Yeah.
Right when I quit, it took this crazy left turn.
Huh.
And then I was like, all right, I'll watch it on demand, and then I couldn't put it down. And then the final episode takes the craziest turn I've ever seen, at least in a sitcom, if not, like, Lost. It's like, but, and it totally made sense. When I went back, I was like, oh, yeah, we were leading to this part the whole time, and I never saw it coming.
Wow.
So based on that alone, and I will not say at all what it is, but if you like Parks and Rec, and you want a story that's going to go crazy on you, definitely go and watch The Good Place.
No shit.
But Drew Goddard, who is running Daredevil, is now working on that.
Oh, well, there you go. Good for him.
But then Stephen S. DeKnight, who was doing that Spartacus show, and it was a writer on Buffy and Angel.
He's doing the new Daredevil, or did
the new
Daredevil?
He did season. He finished season one and did season two.
Yeah.
I heard that he's leaving to do something else, but I haven't heard about a Daredevil season three because we're getting Defenders before we get that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's in the works.
Yeah, so it's a good question, you know. You're risking fatigue no matter what you do.
It's inevitable,
right.
I think.
But I think the best version of a spinoff I ever saw was Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which came at a time when Next Generation was still on the air and the original cast had just finished making movies and it was all the same guys running everything.
Yeah.
So it's exactly what we're talking about with DC. Is that there's different media going on, there's total saturation of awareness, and the show's so big you have to make another show. But what they did with Deep Space Nine was they made it so different that it felt like you were in the same universe but far. Deep Space Nine is like the Rogue One of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I'm in the same universe, but I'm so far away from what that main story was.
Yeah, I'm unnecessary.
Yeah, but if it's good, it's good on its own merits. And Rogue One was good because it was good.
Right, but it's not necessary. No one will ever have to watch Rogue One to understand any other Star Wars movie.
No, Rogue One answers a lot of questions I never asked.
Yeah.
But when they answered them, I was like, oh, that's sure. I was like, oh, well, that's what happened before Star Wars? Okay.
Right.
But in the 40 years?
Yeah.
40 years of seeing Star Wars, never. I was never like, hey, but how did that happen?
Yeah.
There were no holes in Star Wars to fill. It was almost like they created a basement under the house of Star Wars. Deep Space Nine was like that. And the downside was, as I was reading the Star Trek, the first 50 years book, it didn't do as well. And it was a cult show that only the diehard Star Trek fans were watching.
Right.
So maybe there is no right way to do spinoffs. Because as we said, the DC shows that are so contained that neither you nor I can watch any of them.
Well, I'm...
Are you with Flash?
No, I'm not up to date on any of them. But I don't think... Everyone I know who's watching them is watching all of them.
Watching all four.
I think so. Or maybe not watching like one or two. But I think it's something that they are very popular shows.
Yeah, they're doing well.
They're working. And I'd
say put them all together. They're more successful than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has been this one show for 4 years. Again, we're counting Netflix as a separate thing.
Yeah, because I think that, I mean,
in the same way we were counting Preacher as a
separate
thing than Flash.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare I'd compare like Preacher to like Walking Dead, I think.
Yeah.
And like that to like Netflix.
But Preacher is coming from DC.
Yeah, and like I said, I just started it. I have never read Preacher. It's like a kind of like a glaring hole of like one of those books. Every time I tell people that, they're like, what do you mean you've never read Preacher? And it's just like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't care about indie comics super, super much that I've read everything.
Yeah, but we talked about this. I was watching it when it aired. I love it. It's Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon.
And no offense, but I'm not a huge Steve Dillon fan.
Really?
It's like the guy absolutely has no flaws. I think the guy completely delivers.
Everybody kind of had the same face,
but that's what I'm saying.
But it's he could draw like every expression that a human face could
He's
do.
He's a great storyteller. I would never take away from the guy. There's nothing about his art that excites me. He's just he just checks boxes. He's the guy that can get the job done.
Well, he's a storyteller.
Completely satisfactory.
He's all about storytelling. He's not about Flash or
right, but John Romita Jr. is also all about storytelling, but he has a style that's like, I, enjoy, even though I know people hate John Romita Jr.
Right.
But the point I'm saying is, like, I don't even care for Garth Ennis. I liked him on Punisher because I liked, but that was, like, enough for me. It's very, he's overly violent. I don't necessarily care about or want to know about characters that try to commit suicide and, like, with a shotgun and now their face looks like an arsehole. It's like, there's a lot of fucked up stuff in it, but it's a good show, and I don't know how closely it, like, relates to the comic or... It's like, I feel like how my parents must feel when they watch the show, or certainly how my dad feels, because my dad's always like, was it like that in the comic book? And then I'll be like, try to explain what's different or how similar it is. And it's interesting to feel that way.
Yeah, I was frustrated by it. And I talked about it when I was on, because I love the book. I bought the Absolute.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for the volume 2 Absolute. Like, it's a series like Sandman where I want to have these huge, beautiful editions.
Yeah, I've got it like planetary.
Yeah. And I adore this book, and I was mad at every change that they made.
Yeah.
But then once I got to the end of the season, I was like, oh, okay, I see what they were going for, and I see how it lines up. I still didn't think it was quite as good, although I think it's episode 5 is. Genius episode.
I'm like on episode 3, so I okay. wouldn't go much further.
I'm not gonna say anything that happened, but it's directed by Guillermo Navarro, who is the cinematographer for all of Del Toro's movies.
That's what I was gonna say.
And it
I
feels like there's an episode that just feels like a crazy ass Del Toro movie.
Yeah,
and that was the episode I think I may have talked about on the show when it aired, where I was like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
But then he didn't do the next one, and it kind of went back to where it was. I'm coming back for season 2, but I was kind of hoping for the Breaking Bad of comic book shows.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I think one of them's going to be able to do it. I think one of them is going to really kind of pull off that idea of this phenomenal show based on it. And it's going to be an indie comic. Marvel and DC are not going to
Yeah, Daredevil,
show
I think,
out.
Is the closest we've had so far. But even Daredevil's, like, there are moments where I'm a little bored.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff with Karen
lot of
and Foggy that I'm
that's
like,
that's unnecessary, and I think they're by and large, Marvel's still kind of very formulaic. They don't really have... They have good range, I think, but
well,
it's
like we're
all
saying,
built on the same
they
engine.
They make one product, and basically yeah. that product is Jon Favreau's Iron Man.
Yeah.
That's what they make.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they find different ways to do it. You know, like, we'll make Guardians of the Galaxy in space. We'll make Doctor Strange about magic. We'll make Thor in Asgard. We'll make... Captain America, an espionage spy film. But they're all kind of based on that Iron Man engine.
Yeah.
And luckily, Iron Man was so good
yeah, it works.
That they're really,
yeah.
really enjoyable. Whereas DC, the thing DC keeps pointing back to is Nolan's Batman movies, which were so much of a personal vision.
Yeah.
And they're not even my favorite Batman movies. We've had this discussion before.
Isn't the guy who wrote those movies doing Green Lantern?
David Goyer, yeah.
David
Goyer also wrote Blade, and he wrote JSA.
Blade Trinity.
He wrote all three.
Oh.
So he wrote the good ones. And he wrote Trinity? JSA with Jeff Johns.
JSA the comic?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so he's a comic guy.
That's so interesting.
He wrote, yeah.
Because JSA was phenomenal.
Right. And it was the two of them writing it, because they were both screenwriters who were kind of getting their feet wet in comics. Yeah, and people trashed David Goyer. I mean, David Goyer has a credit on Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
But David Goyer also wrote Blade 1 and 2. David Goyer also has credits on Nolan's movies.
Right.
Like, he has a credit on Batman Begins and Batman versus Superman, so it's really hard to say whether this guy is great or bad.
Yeah, because it's like, that's such a wide spectrum. Because I was convinced this guy was just like a dope. Me and a buddy of mine were talking about it the other day.
Blade 1
like,
and Blade 2 are great.
Yeah, I guess it's been a minute. I knew I liked Blade 1. I can't
Blade 2 is Del Toro.
Yeah, I for sure saw it. I just can't remember it at all. Except, like, Ron Perlman was, like, a vampire in it, I think.
Yeah.
But then, like, Blade
3,
yeah, because
Del Toro, Ron Perlman was something in it.
Yeah, exactly. He's like Tim Burton and Johnny Depp, you know? It's just like he's got, like, a blood oath on that guy.
Yeah, in Pacific Rim, he just shows up as a guy.
For no reason. It was awesome.
But you know what? That's my favorite thing about Pacific Rim is that Ron Perlman and Charlie Day are hanging out in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that, like I said, that movie I'll defend forever. That's a great movie. Yeah,
I don't want to see that second one.
Oh, I can't wait for the second one. Are you kidding?
Del Toro's not even doing it. I don't need to go back to that universe.
Yeah, I do. Giant robots need to fight giant monsters.
Yeah, but I feel like they won't do it as well this time.
I hope they do, but I hope they do too, but I feel like they won't. They for sure have my money based on the merits of the first movie alone.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. Not even comic related, but completely awesome. I am listening to Bruce Springsteen read his autobiography. It's called Born to Run. The book came out in September, but the audiobook came out in December. And I think the reason for the delay is that Bruce reads it and it's 18 hours.
Yeah.
And
guy doesn't have a lot of free time, you know?
No, he's a busy guy. But I love hearing people read their own autobiography.
Yeah, I gotta say, the only one I think I've done is Tina Fey.
Tina Fey's was incredible.
And it was great, and it's, you know, if they can, I would always prefer the person who writes it to read it, if possible.
Especially if they're a performer. And they know totally how to read. Like, Tina Fey's was really good, and, why am I blanking? Somebody else was great. Red Clapton's wasn't that great. Come on. Colin Quinn's was really good, but that wasn't so much of his autobiography. That was his book.
Yeah. I guess that's what I mean. It's like, if you write
Elvis Costello's was a weird book, but it was kind of cool to hear him read it.
Yeah.
Because the thing about an autobiography, it's almost like a 12-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Because it's just a guy telling stories. And Bruce is like that, and I love... I'm not the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan. I think he's got some really great records. I love all his stuff in the 70s. But I was always, he was just like a little older than me. It seemed like my uncles and my cousins loved Bruce Springsteen. Like, my parents weren't into him, but he wasn't quite of my generation. He was always like a little higher because he was big in the 70s.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, I was big into Sesame Street. Those were the records I had.
Right.
So I've always enjoyed Bruce, but I've never had like a peak period where I was like super into Springsteen.
Yeah.
And then I also never had a period where I'm like, I'm done with him. Like, I saw him live in 2002 and I saw him in Jersey, and that's where you want to see him.
Yeah.
So I don't know a lot of these stories, and reading his early days when he's just like, he's just king of the bar bands in Jersey.
Yeah.
Which is, and he has to make this decision of, does he like write original music and try to get a record deal? Like, does he leave Jersey? It seems like every time he goes to California a couple of times when he's young, and he bombs, and he keeps going like, I guess I'm just going to be Jersey bar band guy. And it's like, and he'll get into the granular level of like, I could make $90 a week playing bars. And in the 70s, you could live on $90 a week. And he always has this hardworking ethos, but it's really cool to see that, like, he didn't have this track, which you usually find in performers' autobiographies, of like, everything's inevitable. You know? They're like, oh, well, I was in this band, or I got cast in this movie, and then it all happened.
Right. Like, yeah, it always seems like there's like a tipping point for all these stories, you know?
Right.
It's
and
just like, oh, here we go.
With Bruce, not so much, although I am at the fact where they're recording Born to Run. So, but that's his third album. And the first two albums don't sell that well.
Yeah.
So it's really,
so it's more of like a steady climb.
Yeah, because he has a story about the Wild Instrument and the E Street Shuffle, which is his second album. And the record company didn't like it.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, these are good songs, but you got to re-record them, make it shorter. He's like, nope. And he's like, the record company told me, if you put out the record this way, we're not going to promote it. And yep, that's just what they did. It's like, he goes, I'll go to radio stations and they would ask me when the album was out, and it was already out.
Yeah.
So it's really down to earth, and it's 18 hours. So I've had a few like DC Archives. I've had a few. I'm still doing the Spider-Man newspaper strips. They've been put on the side because I just can't stop listening to this book.
Yeah.
So it kind of hits my sweet spot. Like, I love rock and roll autobiographies about music, and I love people that demystify celebrity and fame.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this book is doing. And
that's awesome.
Like I said, I've got another 14 hours to go, so I kind of think it's going to go up to present day.
Yeah.
So it should be really interesting.
When did they write the book?
When did it come out? This year. It just came out in September.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it probably will go up too. That's amazing. As I said, I started watching Preacher, and I don't know shit about Preacher, the comic book, other than, like, it's a religious-type book, and there's a lot of blasphemic stuff for a good Catholic boy like me. But... Yeah, it's good. I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea what the budget was at, and it's an interesting show because I can't figure it out. Like, I can't put my finger on what kind of show this is because, like I said, I had really no clue what to expect. I just come off watching like Westworld, so I was expecting something a bit more
serious.
I guess serious or like cerebral, but it's like it's all over the place. This show gets serious, and then I don't know if it's supposed to be like funny or if it's supposed to be dark. It's like it's just a weird show. And
is it on Netflix now?
Oh no, I don't have it like
through a sanctioned channel.
Yeah, who knows where this came from?
I feel like somebody's got it. Maybe Hulu's got it.
Somebody's got it. Yeah, I can't remember what thing I'm watching it on. And
I won't pry.
No, yeah. And but it's good. So I'm like 3 or 4 episodes in, and then like spoilers, I guess, at this point. There like a vampire guy showed up and like was
it's not really a spoiler, he's a main character.
Yeah, well, I don't know, if maybe if you're like me and you don't know what the fuck this show is about. He's like on an airplane, he murders a bunch of dudes, then starts drinking. I mean, it's like really coolly like choreographed fight scenes, but I'm not like a big gore guy. There's just like I don't know. He like boiled a guy's face in a bathtub. It's just like there's just some messed up stuff happening in the show. But it's good. I like this actor. This is Howard Stark is playing Preacher.
Dominic Cooper.
Yeah, Dominic Cooper.
Kind of looks like you.
I've heard this before once or twice. I also saw
you were saying before the show, because we were talking about how at my new job, there's somebody who looks exactly like a friend of ours.
Oh, yeah.
And you were saying, really, there's only like 50 heads out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, it's like everyone kind of looks like there's so many people. You know, that's why it's just like, you know, cast the movie of our lives. Who would play people? It's like that's a super easy game to play.
It's also why I'm successful in a YouTube trivia band.
Exactly. There you go. See, it's just like living
I got a
proof.
Face of that guy.
You got a face of that one type of guy. But it's cool. It's a good show. I don't know that I have no idea where the show is going, so I couldn't say with full confidence this is going to be a great show, but, it's interesting. It's, it had my curiosity. Now it has my attention.
Yeah, I will come back for season 2. But you know what? If you're going to mention, something that you mentioned earlier in the show, I want to reiterate how really good The Good Place is.
Yeah, see, now that's the next show I'm going to try to go, you know, hunt down and put my people on it.
The whole thing's on demand on cable. I wouldn't be surprised if it's all on Hulu now.
Yeah.
I think it is.
What network puts this out?
NBC.
NBC. So this is an NBC show.
Yeah, so it's a big show. It's got a good budget. And it's other than Kristen Bell and Ted Danson, I don't really know anyone else that's in it, but everybody's really good.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I like Kristen Bell because I can't remember exactly who this person is, but the...
She's married to Dax Shepard. She was Veronica Mars.
Nah, see, I never watched that show. My point, I guess I'm making is like, I have like a weird thing. If a show isn't on like HBO or Showtime or Netflix, if it's like a network show, I'm just automatically like, isn't it like a step down? Or is this like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not trying to be like a shitty critic or something, but
no,
it's
but
like,
it's almost,
there's no stakes.
But that's what we were talking about earlier in the show of like why we keep going back to the Netflix Marvel shows over Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There seems like there's something just kind of safe and old-fashioned about network shows.
Yeah.
But there are some really good ones out there still.
Yeah, I guess it's just like Breaking Bad came out on...
That was AMC.
AMC, and that's what I'm saying. It's like the fucking Western show, Westworld. All HBO. Game of Thrones, HBO. It's like Walking Dead. The biggest shows always seem to be these like non-network shows, and I just think like it's made like a bias in my head, I think, against like network television. I think as soon as I hear it's going to network, I'm just like, ah, fuck that show. And it's like, and that's not fair, you know what I mean? It's just like, this is why I don't watch Flash anymore. It's just like, and I liked the first season. I don't know, I'm just like, they can't, they're not going to swear. Norgan's going to get killed. It's going to be a very safe commercial show.
Gotham kills lots of people.
Yeah, but I'm just like, I suck at it.
You know, let's end with this question then, because I'm trying to think now. I mean, the new Star Trek, it was going to be CBS, and then it's like, nope, now it's going to be streaming.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, most of the shows we talk about are cable or now even streaming. So, I tell you what, when you listen to the show, leave a comment and tell me what your favorite current network show is.
Something you're watching, like that there's new material, like you're, I don't know, like on television or something. Yeah. Not necessarily like TV, but like network or whatever, that's like new material, still going on. Not a show that's over.
Like
Ash vs. the Evil Dead, right? That's a current ongoing
But that was
show.
Stars, that was cable.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
I would say my probably, As soon as we finish recording this, I'm going to think of three more. Yeah. I would say my favorite network show right now is Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yeah.
That's Fox.
Yeah, I'm watching that as well. But I watch that on Netflix. You know,
still counts. We're talking about production. Yeah, so leave us a comment. Tell us what your favorite network show is and why. Not cable, not streaming, and not from 5 years ago. I almost can't say The Simpsons because really I like The Simpsons in the 90s, although I watch it today. And the way to leave us a comment is you can retweet and reply to me at Not In My Book. That is the one feed we keep for the show on Twitter. Or you could go to our CaffeinatedComics.Facebook page, and you can comment on the post that talks about this show. We put out a post every week that tells you when the show is new, or you can start your own thread. But I'm really curious because this is a great question. As we said, we mentioned so many network shows that are not our favorite. So what network show do you like as much as cable? And if you want to go into Kamara's Comics and tell whoever is working behind the shop at any time what your favorite network show is,
you could do that at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!